Ryan and Jay here on The Rush. We are happy to welcome in Ontario's Premier, Doug Ford. Sir, nice to see you.
Great to see both of you guys.
So I want to start off, there's so many things that we want to get to this afternoon. Sure. So many people texting at 7:10 with their questions, and obviously we have so many. But yeah. I want to start it with something that I personally found really interesting when I watched your interview today with Stephanie Smyth on CP24. And I would love for you to be able to talk about this as a politician. When you were saying specifically that you said to the Prime Minister, now that the politicking is over, I get it. We need to get down to business. People expect us to work together.
Yeah.
When you are going through a campaign, even on the sidelines, as you were in this election, and you hear the types of things that are being said about you specifically, we as citizens, we hear not only you being talked about, the Prime Minister being talked about, Andrew Scheer being talked about. Are we not supposed to take any of that personal? Is that just politicking, or is it part of the game? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying, Jay. I don't take it personally. I've been in the game a long time, and you know, a lot of barbs get thrown back and forth, and but that's fine. You know, I was out governing. He was out campaigning, and I understand that. And I told him that on the phone. I said, "Hey, I understand a little politics, and we're politicking." I said, "Let's get down to business." He agreed. It was a good conversation. Said, "Let's get together soon," and because people expect us to work together, no matter what level of government it is. And as I said today on CP, I want to thank the mayor for working with us on the Ontario line, and I thank the Prime Minister as well. And I said, here's an example of how we can work together for the people, because Jay and Ryan, the same people, and I also said this to him, I said, not all, but there's that certain group that voted for me that voted for him. And they understand and they differentiate between a campaign and once you get in office. They don't want to hear the arguments once you're in the office. They want you to start producing.
Let's talk about a group that isn't as perhaps amicable when it comes to negotiations and conversations. Let's rewind for a second and talk about QP first when it comes to the negotiations with them. Your minister had been on this show multiple times. We're almost going to get him an extra seat. He was here so many times, and you know, good for him to be out in front of everything. Did we give too much away, though, when it came to QP and those early negotiations with that particular section of education? Did we give too much away, and maybe that was a signal to other unions that this place was going to be robbed all over again like it was under the Liberal government?
No, I don't think we did. We did a fair deal with them. They stuck to 1%, and that part there is absolutely critical moving forward with any other negotiations. So I think it was a fair and balanced agreement. I know QP came out and said, "Oh, we got everything." That just wasn't accurate, but I think we got a good deal for the students, for the taxpayers, and for QP.
Well, they did get their sick days, and then not much was changed there. Yeah. Was that a concession that you were willing to make going into this thing, or was that sort of a last minute because you knew a strike was coming on the Monday?
No, you know, what really is bothersome to people is when they have to stay at home and they're missing work for 2 weeks and the economy starts being affected because you have, you know, 200, well, there's 2 million students. Right across the province, that's 2 million families, and it would really affect the economy. But when you're in those negotiations, you have to have a fair balance. Sure, you'd take a hard line; they could take a hard line. Nothing gets done, and we have a bunch of mums and dads having to stay home or rushing around and trying to find a sitter.
Let's talk about the current negotiations then. Your minister came out this afternoon around 1 o'clock and said, just so you know, we put an offer on the table, or at least part of an offer on the table, that would see our original plan of 28 being that class cap size to 25. And he indicated that the union, the OSSTF, wasn't happy. In fact, they escalated sort of their campaign that same day. Today, we find out from the same union that they're not really interested in talking class sizes. And here's the union president. We'll play it for you.
He himself says class sizes currently are 22.5, and he's talking about raising them to 25 and somehow thinking that's enticing for us. I really am not at all clear on what the advantage to that is. On top of that, what he refused to address was the proposal that went along with it, which is a poison pill to an already poisoned offering, that all class size cap language would be eliminated from every collective agreement.
When you hear that, what do you think?
Well, I think we're negotiating very fairly. They're at one point, we're at the other. We dropped it down by three students, which is considerable if you think about it. And I just hope the unions aren't unreasonable.
They seem Stephen, to be acting unreasonable.
Yeah, but Stephen Lecce, I got to give him credit. He's probably one of the best communicators I've seen in a long time in politics, and he's doing a really great job. And our goal is to make sure we get the kids in the classroom, keep them in the classroom, and we want to really focus on their math and the technology side and really get back down to the basics.
When he calls that a poison pill, the idea of eliminating the class size language going forward, is that something that is part of this conversation, and is that attached to that cap size number?
Ryan, I'm kind of handcuffed right now. When they're in the middle of negotiations, anything I say right now will be held against us, if I can say it that way. So I just kind of have to repeat what the minister said. We're trying to show good faith and giving them an olive branch. They were quite upset about class sizes. We reduced it, and they're now it's not. They seem not to be happy still.
My sense is, and you don't have to agree with this if you don't want to, but my sense is that these unions are taking this out on you. They said they were going to do this during the election campaign. Yeah. Now they're following through with it. And it doesn't matter what you offer. It doesn't matter what olive branch you extend. They are going to take this out on you personally. And fearmonger, we've all seen the billboards. That's my sense of it is, do you share that?
Well, you know, I always say, Ryan and Jay, that I differentiate between labor and labor leadership. I support the frontline people, and I love when people come up to you and they say, keep going, Doug, you're doing a great job, and by the way, I'm a teacher. And I think that's great. I always will stand up for the teachers. I think they play an important role in the future of our kids, and I just want to get this deal done. We can work with anyone, and I think we've shown it no matter if it's QP or the federal or municipal governments. We just want to make sure that we get a good education for our kids and make sure when it comes to a math test that 50% of our kids are failing grade 6 math and we're the lowest in the country. And that's unacceptable. We have to make sure that we bring the scores up in all areas.
And you mentioned the Ontario line just a few minutes ago. Let's talk about that for a bit. When do you envision that being, to use your words, open for business?
Well, we're going to get going as soon as possible. We're working side by side. Being very collaborative with the city and the mayor and his team. We've had endless meetings, but Metrolinx and TTC are working hand in hand. So I'll have to get back to you on the exact date once the EAs are done and the studies come forward. But we've all agreed that shovels in the ground. People in Toronto and the GTA are tired about talking about transit. They don't care who's paying for it, who's running it. Get the transit built, and that's what we're doing with the federal government pitching in, municipality of Toronto, and the one going up to Richmond Hill as well. That's what we're focused on. Finally, we're going to have a great transit system once all four lines are built.
We've been talking, obviously, for the last 40-some-odd days, it feels like 40-some-odd months, about the federal election. The federal Conservatives didn't do too well. There's been some rumblings about Andrew Scheer's fate, whether or not the party will be looking for a different direction in the next couple of years. Is that something you've thought of, perhaps, once you're done here in the province of Ontario, about leading that party into the next election? Has that crossed your mind at all?
Well, first of all, I want to congratulate Andrew Scheer. I want to congratulate all the leaders. People don't realize how hard it is until they walk a mile in someone's shoes and they crisscross the country and you end up with more votes, but you still lose. Andrew Scheer is a really good man, and I'm focused on Ontario fixing the absolute mess that we inherited from Kathleen Wynne. And we have a big job ahead. But what is really great is our economy right now. We're very fortunate. We've created this environment to create 272,000 jobs in a year and 4 months or 5 months. Those are staggering figures considering under Kathleen Wynne, we lost 300,000 manufacturing jobs. And Jay and Ryan, I look at it this way. There's almost 300,000 people that can put food on their table, can pay rent, can pay a mortgage, or might be able to go out for dinner that they might otherwise not be able to.
But what about people who hear everything you just cited and think, well, why can't this guy do this for me nationally as the leader of the Conservative Party if the last guy couldn't get across the finish line and win against this prime minister?
Well, over the next couple of years, we're going to make sure we fix Ontario. And what I saw is this country is divided right now, like I've never seen before. I'm good friends with Jason Kenney and Scott Moe and Blaine Higgs, and I get along very well with Francois Legault. As Ontario as a whole and as a premier, we need to step up and unite this country and lead this country into prosperity and growth. Because when we're united, no one can stop us. And I've always said what's good for Ontario is good for Canada, and what's good for Canada is great for Ontario. But I understand their concerns. I had a great conversation with Premier Moe the other night, a good friend, and he's frustrated, and so is Jason. Kenny's frustrated. But when I went out there this summer, I heard it on the street. It's just common folks come up, and they're really frustrated that they're sending $20 billion to the feds, and they're getting nothing back.
A number of people at 71010 have asked us to bring up hydro rates. There's rumblings that they might be going up.
Yeah, that's very frustrating to me. If there was one file, that's probably the toughest file we inherited. It was a total mess, and if we weren't in office, it'd be going up 30%. The first thing, I'll tell the listeners what we did. The first thing we did is we got rid of the CEO and the board at Hydro. We ended up getting rid of the cap-and-trade carbon tax. We ended up putting natural gas into the rural areas, and we're going to continue focusing on making sure that we lower the rates, as I promised, by 12%. I'll give you a quick little story. When I was traveling down to New York City with Vic Fedeli, the finance minister of the day, we're trying to raise money. One of the big banks came in, and they said, "Gentlemen, even if we tried, and we would never do it, even if we tried to destroy a country's and a province's energy file, we couldn't have done a better job than what the Kathleen Wynne and at the time, or I guess right now, the federal government has done." And it's a real challenge. They spent an enormous amount of money with these wind turbines that we'd lose money on. And that's the other thing we did. When we went into office, we canceled $790 million of wind turbines. But the cost, and it represents 1% of the grid, for a kilowatt, you could be paying 7-8 cents. And we, in some cases, we're getting charged 80 cents. So there's never been, ever, that I can remember, a bigger transfer of wealth from the common people and businesses and the ratepayers of this province to the back rooms and the political establishment ever in the history of Ontario. People got really rich off the backs of the ratepayers.
Premier Doug Ford, we appreciate you stopping by today.
Thank you.
We'd love it if you could come back again.
I really look forward to coming back
in the next little bit.
Great.
And of course, we'll have a sit down and continue to talk with our listeners about the issues of the day that affect Ontarians. Thanks so much.
Ryan, thank you. And Jay, thank you so much.
Thank you.